Thankful for the opportunity. I just hope and I pray that I don't make a mess out of what God's given me. And that I can just clearly relay what He'll have for us to, what He'll have for us tonight. But I don't know about any of y'all. I'm going to say something here in a minute, and everybody's probably going to look at me like I'm crazy. And that's fine. Most of you probably think I'm crazy most of the time anyways. So it'll just be a normal thing, yeah, yeah. Austin said I couldn't go over tonight because y'all wasn't paying overtime. So Randall's done put me on a tab back here, said it was double for the waters on Sunday night. Somebody's going to have to pick that up for me. But y'all going to have to laugh a little bit. Anyways, I don't come to you tonight with some elaborate message to share with you. I don't have some big title. I don't have just overwhelming. They're not fixing to write a book about this message, I don't imagine. You know what I mean? I'm going to give you what God's given me this week because I fought hell to get here for it. I'm like Brother Keith said this morning, it's not about what I say. It's nothing about me. The message that I preach tonight won't do you not a bit of good. It's about who I'm preaching the message about. It's about Jesus Christ. Everything, every song that was sung up here was praising God and enjoyed every one of them, and I thank God for them. But there's absolutely no amount of this message that's going to be something that's just going to just boom. And everybody's fixing to jump up and do the Holy Ghost shuffle and all that good stuff. All right? But I believe with everything inside of me that most everybody here can relate to what I'm fixing to tell you. I believe I can relate this to some facet of your life. And my mom, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That was bad. But my mom reminded me when I got here. Sure, I'm glad I can laugh here. My mom reminded me that of something tomorrow, reminding me that like I didn't remember. Okay, I love her. She has to remind me of a lot of things because she said I didn't tell her that I was preaching tonight, but I think I did. But anyways, she's right. I'm wrong. You know. But she reminded me that tomorrow marks 14 years, 13 years since the day of my wreck. December 23rd, 2011 is when I had my wreck, somewhere around 10 o'clock that night, and changed my life. It was a traumatic experience. Y'all have heard my testimony. If you haven't, I'll tell it later. But I'm not here to tell you about my wreck or the testimony of my wreck and what all things happened. To the short of it, I wound up in a wheelchair. Spoiler alert, you know. But what I'm here to tell you is that not only did December 23rd of 2011 did I have a wreck and it was a traumatic experience and all this, but this is the part that I'm going to say that everybody's probably fixing to look at me crazy, but I just don't like this time of the year. I don't like it. Don't get me mixed up. Now, I love Christmas, and I love the meaning of Christmas, but I don't like December. I don't. It never seems to be good. Never. I mean, we can date it way on back before my wreck, but we'll just start from there because it's fresh on my mind. But just a few years ago, and I'm not trying to bring up sore subjects. I don't want nobody to feel sorry for me, but just a few short years ago, I lost my dad December 15th. You know, like I said, my wreck, and there's just so many things that I could add up here that's happened in December and that's went on. And not just that, but every year it seems like money is pushed more and more and more this time of year. Just more and more. And let me just tell you, my line of work, we don't make no money this time of year because it's the slowest time that we have. And then And then we ain't even gonna get into the whole gifting process about how I bought you something, but you didn't get me something, or you got me something, and I don't get you something. And now this one's mad at that one. You know, you gave me something, I gave to them, and they told you about that. Now, anyways, that was a joke too. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we get so caught up in gifting and giving, and there's just so many things, and I just don't like this time of year. I don't like it. But this past week, I realized, and like I said, I fought it this past week. I went through a trial this past week. Monday, somewhere around 10, 11 o'clock, I got a phone call in the morning. I got a phone call, not necessarily a phone call, but anyways, I got some news, and I needed something by Friday, and if I didn't have something by Friday, there was going to be something real bad happen, okay? And I'll save you all the details, but I about lost it. Like, I didn't know how this was going to happen. It was a big feat to take over. And through it all, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock on Thursday, I got a phone call that it came through and everything was good. And God blessed me with it. You know what I mean? It was bad. And then on top of that, I've got more bad news that comes in Monday evening, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday's more bad. Like, there's just more stuff going on. And I don't like this time of year. And all this week, this whole time that I've been thinking about this, or this whole time that I've been going through this week, I've been trying to figure out what message God wants me to bring. And I've just had this, I don't know, just this mental block, I guess you could say. And not knowing, not sure of what really that God was just pressing on my heart and what He really wanted me to have. Wanted us to have. And then it hit me Friday. It hit that I have the ability to either sulk in my trials or raise up my praises. If you will, turn with me to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. And if you will, stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first three verses. Along with all the other stuff going on, I don't hardly ever get a cough, but I've had a cough for the last 3 or 4 days, and it is annoying the heck out of me. Psalms 146, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princesses, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for this opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Father God, for each and every soul that's represented here. I thank you, Father, for the word that you've given us, Father God. And I ask you, Lord, that you just take complete control, Father. I pray you just give a message in this, Father God. Don't let me mess it up. Hide me far in the shadows of the cross, Father God, and just let you be seen. And just your will be done in this place, Father. Lord, I pray, Father God, that through all this notes and anything else in the scripture, and I just pray that somebody here has a revelation with you that we don't have to sulk in our trials, Father God, that we can just praise you through it. Lord, I just ask you right now that you come into this place, fill us up with your Holy Ghost, Father God, and forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I went... I have places. Anybody else got a place that you go just to get away? Nobody else really knows that you know about this place, you know? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. Nobody know. I have, my wife don't even know about the places that I go and just sit and pray. I don't tell nobody. I don't tell nobody where I go. But this past week, I'm gonna give a hint on one of them. But this past week, as I'm going through what I'm going through and all these trials are happening and bad news just keeps coming, and every time the phone rings, I don't want to answer it. Every time something else comes up, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what's going to happen now? And I had the opportunity to sneak off for 30 minutes or so, and, And I went, and as I went down the road, I went to our old hunting club. Back, I don't know, I think we stopped hunting in that club when I was 15. And we went and, or I went and rode around for just a little while, just made a few turns. And I went by a place, and it brought up a memory. It brought up a real good memory of me and my dad and my brother. And I got to thinking about my dad, and got to thinking about how about how all the things that he had done for me and taught me and all the good things going on. And that's when it dawned on me that I don't have to sulk in the fact that he's gone. I can praise the times that I had with him. I went on riding around, and I got to thinking about how it sure would be nice if I could. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but it sure would be nice if I get out and walk that cutover like I used to, you know. And I just knew that I couldn't, which is probably a good thing because I didn't have permission for it. But I'm just saying, I'm glad everybody laughed at that one. That was a joke. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I wasn't able to, and it made me realize, like, well, here it is. You know, this is one thing that I don't like this season because of my wreck, and I can't do whatever, and things aren't like they used to be, and well, all this stuff. And then it hit me. I don't have to sulk in that no more because I can praise God for all the things that I do now. Because there's plenty of stuff that I get to do that a lot of other people don't. There's plenty of things that I have that a lot of other people don't. There's plenty of things that I've got to do and been able to do and God's blessed me with that a lot of other people don't. I got to thinking about the fact that if I would not have had my wreck, the chances of me and my wife being together or even meeting for that fact are slim to none. It's just, it probably wouldn't have meshed together too well. I worked a lot and I just didn't have a whole lot of other means of thinking about anything else other than work. And that's all I wanted to do was make money. And my whole goal was I was wanting to travel and make as much money as I possibly could. And had I not had my wreck, I probably would have went on with those things. And I just got to thinking, and I got to really realizing that God had blessed me so much with everything that has happened. I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about the fact that on December 15th, of whatever year it was, I don't know, I'm not good with years. It was a year to the day after my dad's death. I'm having a bad day. Like, I'm mad at the world, a bad day. And my wife comes to me and she hands me a box. And I open this box and it's a key ring. And it's got some names on it. And I get to looking at it and that's how she told me on that day that she was pregnant was ice. And I'm, all this is happening, just bam, bam, bam. You know, I'm riding down the road, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm tearing up, and I'm thanking God, and I'm praising God, and I'm realizing all the things that I have, and I'm realizing all the things I can be thankful for instead of all the things I can sulk in. And I realize that if I don't have to think about December the 15th no more as the day that I lost my dad, I can think about that day as the day that my wife told me that I got Zias. I got to thinking about this. We went to the doctor. I told this in Sunday school, and I'm going to be brief with it. But we went to the doctor, and I think I've told y'all this before, but we go and we do an ultrasound, sonogram. Somebody said it was the same thing, so we did them both at the same time. Whatever we did, but we got the heartbeat and we was listening to it. And I'm like, I'm fired up because we got a heartbeat. That means he's alive. You know what I mean? And I'm fired up. And I quickly start seeing the doctor's reaction change. And I see the nurse's reaction change. And I see Carrie's, she's setting up asking questions. And they say that the heartbeat was 50, we'll say 55, I think it was. And then I start seeing that Carrie's starting to tear up, and now the nurse is tearing up, and now the doctor's tearing up. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but doctors don't tear up a whole lot. I've been around a few of them. They don't really care what happens to you. They don't seem like most of the time because they've seen so much. But this doctor right here is starting to cry a little bit, and I realize the situation is serious, okay? And I might not be the smartest person in the world, but I knew I didn't need to ask no questions. You know what I mean? I was just holding my wife's hand, rubbing her back, saying, it's going to be all right. I didn't know if it was going to be all right, but I was telling her anyways. So I'm over here on my spare time Googling, trying to figure out what it means to have a low heart rate. And then I realized that means that the baby probably ain't going to make it. So I start praying, and I started. I thank God for giving me the revelation of this. But He told me to fast, and I started fasting and begging and pleading and asking God for help and looking for Him. And keep in mind, now I don't remember what date this was, but it's all about this time of year when all this is going down. And I'm begging God, like, don't do this to me, please. Please let it, you know, I'm begging Him. And we go back to the doctor, and the heart rate's triple what it was before. It was 160, I think, is what it was. I've got so many things to thank God for, but I get caught up in sulking in the trials that I'm sitting in. I've got so many things that I can look at and just be thankful for. You know, and it seems like Thanksgiving was yesterday, and we talk, and everybody in here, we just about everybody grabbed a mic and told what you was thankful for. Everybody, there were so many people that took the mic and gave a testimony and told about, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that. But what I'm saying is do you catch yourself, what I'm asking you, is do you catch yourself worried and like I said, sulking in the hard times that you face? We go to family gatherings and you see the ones that aren't there no more, or maybe you've got into it with somebody and they don't come, and whatever it might be, I don't know your situation, I can just tell you mine. But how many times do you get caught up in that and like, well, you know, Christmas ain't the same as it was when so-and-so was around. See it a lot of times where grandparents pass away or mamas or daddies pass away and the family just kind of stops getting together, you know? You know what I mean? You can go have these conversations with people and like, well, Christmas ain't the same, Thanksgiving ain't the same since so-and-so ain't around. And I just imagine that you get caught up in worrying about and thinking about how it could be this way or it could be that way instead of thanking God for the ones that are around. Instead of doing your best to get together with the ones that are around and trying to make Thanksgiving and Christmas the same as it was when they were around. Set a picture on the table and start talking about the good times instead of all the bad times and why they're not grown. We have so much to be thankful for in the lives that we live. I don't see anybody sitting here with shredded clothes. Nobody walk up here with their feet showing and bloody and calloused feet from walking down the road trying to get to church. Didn't nobody have to leave super duper early to ride your horse and buggy down here in the cold? Everybody turned the heat on when you got in the car, didn't you? If your heat's out, call Kevin. He'll help you out, and now you can praise about that. Need some commission on that. But what I'm saying is the same thing for summer, turn the air conditioner on, but I'm trying to tell you that we get so caught up in the bad times and we get so caught up in the trials, and God's done told us that He's took care of that. We sing praises and we sing songs and we talk about, and we've got all these things, but I hope I'm not just talking to me, but if I am, I thank God for the message He gave me. But we get so caught up in the things that happen and the bad stuff, and we just don't praise God for the things that are right in front of our face. Most of the time, men, I'm going to talk for men, we take it out on the ones that's closest to us. You get caught up in work, you get so busy, you get so aggravated or whatever it might be, and you come home, you're tired, you're aggravated, and you yell at your kids. I know Zias catches all the time. He's got to where he wants to play basketball, and he dribbles that flipping ball in the house, and oh my goodness, it's everything I've got in me not to stab that ball and every other one that I see. I'm over there working on my message this evening and putting notes down, and he's been sitting on the couch for 2 hours and hadn't done nothing. But as soon as I get this Bible open, he starts bouncing. And I was like, oh boy, boy, I love you. You know, when you go and come back in yonder, you know. But we get so aggravated at the things that are right in front of our blessings. Or maybe that's just me too. If you will, turn with me to Psalms 117. Psalms 117. I tell you what I thank God for right now is the fact that I ain't had a coughing fit.
Psalms 117, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his mercy, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. I'm telling y'all, when we get down and we get out and we get pushed back, and there's so many, especially in this holiday season, we're coming into we're going to go into Christmas, and something's going to happen. You're sitting here listening to the message, and I'm praying and I'm rebuking Satan in Jesus' name, but something's going to wind up happening that's going to push you back a little bit. And what we have to stop and remember is that the Lord endureth forever. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I'm glad you left that up there. His goodness is so, we can't even fathom it. And we've got to latch on to it and hold on to it and not let bad things or bad just situations dictate the rest of our day, the rest of our year, the rest of our holidays. And even after Christmas, when we go into the first of the year, I don't know about y'all, but business slow and this and that and whatever. You're trying to recoup from the holidays. And you get back to going. A friend of mine told me he's going to have 17 days off. And I just thinking, if I had 17 days off, I wouldn't be worth nothing. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to go back to work, and I work there. It's my office. I work with my brother. I wouldn't want to see him either. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I know I'd be late the first day back. That's all I'm getting at. Glad my boss don't mind. But y'all should have got that one. But what I'm saying is that there's going to be things come up, and we've got to lay hold of the truth that Jesus Christ died for us. If you're saved here tonight, you have something to hold on to and look forward to. You have something that you can believe in and lean on. Even when nobody else understands, even when your wife thinks you're crazy, or your husband thinks you're crazy, you're overreacting, your buddies have left you high and dry, and nobody answers the phone, Jesus Christ is there for you. You just got to pick up and plug into it. Don't mean he's going to answer as soon as you call. Don't mean he's going to answer as soon as you call, but you got to trust that he's going to be there. Sometimes it takes him 4 or 5 days. I was worried sick Thursday, I'm telling y'all. And then finally, bam, there's the phone call I got. And I'm telling you, it was only God that could do it. Nobody else. There wasn't nobody else going to help me. You know what I mean? Nobody. It was only God. If you will, I have forgotten my other scripture. But if you will, turn to Psalms. Can't believe I didn't write down my other scripture, fellas. Psalms 18. Before I read this scripture, I'm going to read the scripture first. Psalms 18, verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I'm going to ask you and charge you with this, and I'm challenging you. Who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to cling to the Lord? Who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to just, when things get rough, God's going to be my fortress? Who's going to stand up and say, I will? Who's going to stand up and say, I will love thee, O Lord, that because he's your strength. Who's going to stand up and tell people and let people know that that the Lord is your rock? He's your fortress. How many times have you told somebody lately that God's your deliverer? Not just, oh man, Jesus loves me and he's good about it. No, he's my deliverer. He brought me out of the life that I was in. He's your strength. Who's going to stand up for when you start getting and sulking and laying down in the muck and the mire and telling people that God's your strength? And with him is a reason why you can reach up. One of the biggest lies that's ever been told, I believe this wholeheartedly, is the fact that when you hit rock bottom, everybody says there ain't no other way but up. And that's the biggest lie ever. I'll say this all the time. My mom and my wife probably get tired of hearing it because I feel like I say it in about every other message. But the only way to go is up, and that's a lie. You can lay down and roll around and go up and down on the bottom all you want. You can crawl around in it and sulk in it and be in it. You can be on the bottom as long as you want to be there. That's not the only way is up. The only way to go up is to reach for God because he's your strength. Who's going to stand up and say that I will trust God? That he's the horn of my salvation. That he's your high tower. Tonight, I'm going to leave you with this and just say that over the last several years, if you would have asked me if you're ready for Christmas, I was going to make it a point to say, I just don't like this time of year. I was going to make it a point to say, there's just so many things that's happened, I just don't like this time of year. So I don't really care about Christmas. My wife does the shopping. I do the sitting there watching the kids open the presents. That's what I would have told you. Over the last week, if you would have said, how's it going? I would have told you, we getting along. Not real sure just yet, but we're trying. So I'm asking you, if you're in that position, if you're getting in that position this holiday season or any time thereafter, which way are you going to go? Are you going to sulk in the trial? Or are you going to lift up the praise that you can find? You're going to look for the good in the bad. You want to look for the good times, or are you just going to just lay there in the bad times? Are you going to look for your strength and your high tower? Are you going to look for God? Or are you just going to sit there and just be in the trial and let it defeat you? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you again, Father God, for being here. I ask you, Father, that I didn't mess this up. I pray, Father, that you just do with it what you will. I pray, Father God, as they come to sing, Father, as this altar is being opened, Father God, I pray you start opening hearts and minds. I pray you start just purging the devil out of this place, Father God. We rebuke him in Jesus' name. I'm asking you, Father, people start making steps towards you, Father God. I pray that we start hearts being changed and minds being changed, Father. And Lord, I just pray that your will be done in this place. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.